out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 22nd of July 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, apparently today we're going to find out who the new Conservative Prime Minister is, but it hasn't been released just yet. And I did hear earlier that we wouldn't actually be told until tomorrow morning, so we won't be covering that today. What we will be talking about, though, is transgenderism. And I know we talk about this rather a lot, but there were three news stories over the last few days over here in Britain to do with it, which do show that there is some support for what we are saying, that this is really wrong and dangerous what is going on. And this support is actually coming from within the medical organisations themselves, particularly a whistleblower. There's a former NHS psychologist who has broken cover to claim that children are being misdiagnosed as transgender cases, with sex abuse victims and young people living in extreme poverty among them. Dr. Kirsty Entwistle is the first whistleblower to go public and be named over her concerns regarding the treatment of children by NHS gender clinics. She said, "Traumatic early experiences that might explain a misguided desire to swap sex are not being investigated by medical staff who fear being labelled transphobic. Other vulnerable children being referred to Britain's only NHS gender clinic for under 18s include those with mental health problems," she claims. Now, of course, we've been saying this for a while, that about a third of the people that get referred as transgenders now are actually autistic, and the doctors are not allowed to say, well, this could be something to do with your autism, because that is failing to reaffirm a person's gender identity, which could get these doctors struck off. You've also got body dysmorphia. You've got similar symptoms to what the anorexics have and the bulimics. They have a distorted body image, and these children that are being referred, they also have this distorted body image. But also along with this, there is usually somebody close to them, a family member, that is encouraging it. There will be a family member that rewards the child for dressing like a girl. It could be an aunt, it could be an older sister, and what they would do is they will dress the young baby in girl's clothes, maybe put makeup on the child, and treat them like they're some kind of doll, basically. And the child itself will really like the attention, and they will like the attention that they get from this family member. And they will associate dressing like that and acting like they're a girl as getting a reward, getting attention. And nobody is pointing that out either. When somebody brings a child in and says, "I think my child is transgender," that's what should be investigated. That is what really needs to be investigated, the people that are actually spending time with them. And of course, that's becoming harder to do now because they're being taught about this at school, and they're trying to confuse their gender at school by not having proper gender identities, by trying to not use male and female pronouns, all that sort of thing. So we've got a real problem with this, with these kids that are deciding to be transgender at a massive rate. It's something like a 30,000% increase in the last 10 years. And instead of being alarmed by this and doing all we can to prevent it, one way of which would be to insist on gendered pronouns and reinforce the male identity for males and reinforce the female identity for females. Instead of doing that, we are, because they're saying, well, we need to make these people feel inclusive, that what they're actually doing is excluding everybody else from being normal and messing these children's heads up. As I say, there was a time when you could identify which member of the family it was that was doing this, but now you've got everybody at the school doing it. You've got all the teachers at the school doing it. You've got the television programs that are encouraging it as well. And then on top of that, you've got these mental problems that this whistleblower is saying can be caused by sexual abuse, things like that. Because if a girl has been sexually abused, they may think, well, if I was male, then I couldn't be raped. And a lot of these girls that are claiming to be boys, they have these terrible fears of being raped, and they think, well, if I'm a boy, I can't be raped. And that may have been brought on by sexual abuse, of course. And we also know that a percentage of children that are abused by their own gender, they will then become homosexual themselves. They will have confused feelings because they may have enjoyed the sexual abuse, and they may associate that with the way that they should be, and they may find themselves attracted to their own gender rather than being attracted to the opposite gender, which is, of course, why it's so dangerous to have homosexuals around children. The homosexual question, it isn't just about who these people choose to sleep with in their own homes. It's the way that people become homosexual in the first place that we need to do all we can to prevent from happening. And we need to do all we can to prevent these kids from being delusional and getting confused and thinking that they're the other gender. Continuing with this article, Dr. Entwistle is one of a growing number of staff from the Child Gender Identity Development Service, GIDS, to criticise the clinic's practices. However, she is the first to put her name to concerns and has written an open letter to the head of GIDS. She is now calling for an independent investigation into potential failures that she and other employees have exposed. So these are the people that actually work in this clinic where they are transitioning these children into becoming other genders. And the doctors at the very clinic itself are saying there's something seriously wrong here. This is not right. So surely, if it's the doctors themselves that are questioning this, why is it still going ahead? Well, it's still going ahead because of the pressure that's being put on them by these lobby groups, and the pressure that's been these lobby groups have put on the government, which is forcing the government to change laws to make it so that the NHS has to affirm a person's chosen gender identity. Dr. Entwistle worked as a clinical psychologist for GIDS between 2017 and 2018 and was based at the clinic's branch in Leeds. The service is the only one of its kind in the UK for young people diagnosed with gender dysphoria, an individual's belief that they are trapped in the wrong body. This newspaper understands Dr. Entwistle left GIDS because she attempted to raise the issues detailed in her letter with her managers, and she felt concerns were not taken seriously. So she's raising serious medical concerns, but because they're not politically correct, because they don't affirm a child's chosen gender, she was ignored. This is all about political correctness and virtue signalling at the expense of these poor children that are having their bodies and their minds messed up. Since leaving, she has come to the conclusion that it is her ethical duty to speak out. Good woman. She recounted in her letter how she was accused of transphobia by a GIDS colleague for simply raising questions about the explosion in young people claiming to be transgender. The latest figures from GIDS show 2,590 children were referred last year, compared to less than 100 in 2009. So if 100% increase would be 200, and you've got 2,590 now, I mean, that's what, 25,000% increase that we've had in the last 10 years. And she's raising questions about why is this happening, and then she's being accused of being transphobic for questioning why this is happening. Everybody should be questioning why this is happening. And I these people that are promoting this and saying that we should be celebrating this on the BBC, it's absolutely crazy. This is really, really alarming what is going on, the confusion in these children's minds. It must be horrific to be a parent at this time and know that, you know, this could happen to your child, that they could have their head messed around with by these teachers at school, by these transgenders that come into the school and then try to sell the idea of transgenderism to these kids. Basically, they're trying to tell them that it's good and it's great and it's acceptable and it's wonderful. And they're basically encouraging these kids to become just like them. In her message to the services director, Dr. Polly Carmichael, she said clinicians are afraid of raising their concerns for fear of being labelled transphobic by colleagues. She also claims that GIDS staff are prescribing sex change treatments to young people that have not gone through rigorous scientific testing. She questioned how staff at the clinic could tell children and their families that puberty-blocking medication is fully reversible. She warned that the reality is no one knows what the impacts are going to be on children's brains. So how is it possible to make this claim? And of course, what happens is when you're an adolescent, you suddenly get a burst of testosterone, a large burst of testosterone, which causes the body to change, particularly the recreative generative organs. They change, the testicles get larger, hair starts appearing, all these sorts of things. And it only happens at that age when they get a blast of testosterone. They don't know whether if they delay this and then at the age of 25, they suddenly give them a big blast of testosterone, whether that's going to happen. Because of course, when you're older and you've got more testosterone in your body anyway, that doesn't keep happening. Your balls don't keep dropping. Your penis doesn't keep growing. It stays at the level that it is. So it must be linked in with something to do with the age, basically. They don't know that this is reversible, and that if they block puberty, that they can give somebody puberty at a later age. And of course, as it says here, nobody knows the impacts on the child's brains, because these hormones have a huge effect on a person's sense of well-being. A large part of a person's personality can be down to the hormones that they have. I mean, alpha males are always extremely high testosterone. It doesn't just affect the body. It doesn't just affect the muscles and the bones and the shape of the body. It affects the way people think as well. It affects their mood. And also, when they're doing this, when they're blocking this, and when they're giving them the opposite hormones, that is also going to render these people infertile. And if they do then try to have children, who knows, if they do get pregnant, manage to get somebody pregnant, who knows what the effects are going to be on that child. The fact that this person has messed around with all their hormones and had estrogen instead of testosterone, or testosterone instead of estrogen. The facts are, they just don't know this. And when they are actually prescribing these drugs to these children, it's an off-label use. It's not what these drugs were originally created for. The one that suppresses the testosterone that they give to these transsexuals, that was created for men with prostate cancer, to cut out the testosterone that they have to slow the growth of the prostate cancer. And I believe it includes a little bit more estrogen as well, to compensate for the fact that they have no testosterone. It increases the estrogen in the body. And what these transsexuals have been doing is taking this medication because it cuts back on the testosterone, and they want to have more estrogen in their bodies, which will cause male breast growth, basically. But these drugs were designed for fighting cancer. They weren't designed so that the opposite gender could, or so that people could take them in order to try and mimic the body type of the opposite gender. And what they're now doing is giving this to children. And they have no idea what the effects are going to be for this off-label use, because there hasn't been rigorous scientific tests of this. I mean, this is basically a huge experiment that is going on. And the people that are going to suffer at the end of it is our children. And a lot of these parents, they believe that, of course, the doctor knows best. The doctor's told them that it's perfectly fine to give them this, and they've gone along with it. And the doctors don't know that it's perfectly fine. And it's not just me saying this. This is a whistleblower at the actual clinic itself that's saying this. Dr. Entwistle raised another red flag about young people with a wide variety of problems not related to their gender being diagnosed as transgender and put on drugs to help them change sex. In addition to sex abuse victims, she said significant numbers coming to the clinic were living in poverty and risky situations. Now, why would somebody that's living in poverty or risky situations start saying that they think they are the opposite gender? Could it possibly be because they want the attention, and they know that if they say that, they're going to be the center of attention, and they're going to get all this help from the NHS, and they're going to have all this power over their teachers, who won't be able to use, who'll have to be very careful what pronouns that they use? You know, there are other reasons for people suggesting that they might be the opposite sex, rather than having a proper delusional idea that they actually are. And don't forget, we are talking about children here as well. I saw a tweet at the weekend, and somebody said, my son first saw a black man today, and he asked me, Daddy, when I grow up, will I have black skin? I mean, your children just don't understand these things. How can you accept that when a child says he thinks he's the opposite gender and go along with that? And you have to say, well, you're not. Look, physically, you're not. This is what you have. You're a boy. And then you have to reinforce what being a man is and what being a boy is. You have to encourage the male aspect of the personality to come out, not reinforce their delusions, because these delusions are, when they realize that they really aren't actually the opposite gender, that's going to make them suicidal. And it says this later on in one of these other articles that I got it today, when they actually hit puberty, if they've been told, well, oh, it's perfectly fine, we'll just dress you as a girl, or we'll tell everyone to call you a girl, and then they hit puberty and they realize they're not a girl, that can be devastating for the child. Dr. Entwistle told of one young person who is so impoverished that they considered it a treat to have a fizzy drink. So, of course, they're going to think it's absolutely fantastic that they're being taken to a clinic and looked after, and they've got all this attention, if it's a big treat to them just to have a fizzy drink. She also claimed that the general approach at GIDS was to affirm children are transgender, and said there was an unspoken rule that clinicians never told families, your child is not transgender. They never tell families that they're not transgender. That means they accept all of them, that all of these families that bring their child along there, they just accept that. This really has to change. You just wonder how many of these kids are not truly delusional, and they're just living in poverty, or they've been abused, or they've got body dysmorphia, or they may be bipolar, maybe schizophrenic. I mean, there are all these other conditions that people can have that can manifest itself, that can manifest themselves as transgender delusions. The psychologist added that she thought it was unethical that GIDS associated with transgender youth support group Mermaids, which she says has been linked to doctors prescribing sex change hormones to underage children. This group Mermaids, they're one of these lobby groups. They're extremely powerful. I talked about a while back in one of these podcasts that we did on transgenders, about somebody that lost their job, and they were pointing out, well, hang on a minute, what about this research here? And because they were told that at the end of the Mermaids presentation, they would be able to ask questions, and they were told, that's just your opinion, we're not having anything to do with that. And they refuse to even look at the evidence. And that's because they're made up of transgenders, and transgenders are delusional. When you point this evidence to them, they will do the equivalent of putting their fingers in their ears and going, nah, 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 I can't hear you. I mean, that's the level of this. They are properly delusional. And when you point the facts out to them, they will scream at you and get violent at you, as we've seen so many times, with a bloke dressed up as a woman going into a store and insisting that the person on the till address them as she, when they're obviously male, and this person went wild, and it must have been very frightening for the person that was actually on the till, because they're always just right on the edge, and they're being encouraged to be like this when they shouldn't be. A spokeswoman for GIDS said there were many spaces for staff to share their concerns, and that safeguarding issues should be reported to managers. Well, there aren't that many spaces if she's being told that that she's just being transphobic when she points this out, are there? She added, there is no pressure to provide medical intervention from the service, so there can often be from the young person or the family. Well, the family have gone there in the first place, so obviously the family are wanting this. And instead of saying to them, well, this could be wrong, we don't know what the effects of this is going to be, it could be some other kind of diagnosis that your child has, instead of that, they're just going along with it. A Mermaid spokesman said, we have no influence over or organisational association with GIDS, which I would allege is a nonsense, because it may even be an indirect influence, because they've had a huge influence on policy at the NHS, they've had a huge influence on the BBC, who have used them as executive advisors for programmes that they've done about child transgenderism, and they've had a huge influence on the government. They are the major pressure group, is this Mermaids group, and of course it's made up of transgenders. And I said I've got this other article that I wanted to bring into this as well, and this deals with at such a young age that this is happening. Parents are pushing children as young as 3 years old to change gender and without consulting a specialist first, experts have warned. Some children are starting school with a new name and gender identity after socially transitioning without teachers having been told. The NHS's top psychologist for transgender children warned yesterday of a major increase in the trend, saying parents are researching the subject online and taking advice from internet forums and transgender lobby groups. So that they're being affected by what they are seeing in the mainstream media. They're being told that if they have a tomboy, then that's it, they must be transgender. And they're worrying about their children, and instead of being given good, balanced advice, they're being given politically correct advice by these transgender lobby groups and by these internet forums that are encouraging it. And of course, some of these parents, you know, they want their child to be transgender because they know that they'll be the center of the attention then. They'll be very, very special. They'll be very important. They might even get a TV documentary out of it. So a lot of these parents are swayed by this. I mean, we see this in America with Desmond is Amazing, this young child that dresses up as a drag queen, and his parents pimp him out, basically. They pimp this child out for homosexuals to fawn over and throw money at. It's absolutely horrific to see. And you can tell from that these parents are loving it. They're loving all the attention. Of course, the kid is loving the attention as well, but it's the parents that are responsible for the child that are doing this, and there is an incentive for these parents to have these transgender children, because they will then be seen as very important people. And this goes for the same in the schools as well. There have been articles by parents of girls in girls' schools, and the girl has felt as if she's of no importance and of no value at all, because she's not a lesbian and she's not a transgender, and it's the transgender kids at school that are the center of attention all the time. And of course that's an encouragement for more of them to say that they're transgender. It's like it's the latest craze, it's the latest fashion, is to pretend that you are not the gender that you're actually born as. The warning comes as the latest figures show the number of referrals to England's only specialist clinic for children has almost doubled in 5 years. Well, it's, as I say, it's more than doubled. It's about 25,000% in the last 10 years. Last year, 2,590 children were referred to the Gender Identity Development Service. 10 were aged 3 and 4, and dozens more were of primary school age. How can somebody at the age of 3 know what gender they are? In kids, one day they're going to be Spider-Man, the next day they're going to be Batman, the next day they're going to be pretending that they're a train or pretending that they're a tractor. And instead of realizing this, these parents are basically imposing this upon these kids that they are then going to stay the same. And they're saying there are 2,590 referred to the Gender Identity Development Service. What about all the ones that haven't referred them to the doctor? This is the point. These ones that have just gone on the internet and have read what's going on there. And you know, I mean, hormones are very easily available. You can buy hormones on the internet. So I bet there are also parents out there that are just doing this without any help from a doctor and are just giving this to their children, thinking that they're doing the right thing, especially these single mothers that don't have the restraining hand of a father there with them. Bernadette Wren, head of clinical psychology at the Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust, which runs the service in London, said, "We have had some children who have gone to school and nobody in the school knows." Dr. Wren cited the example of a five-year-old whose name was changed from Billy to Ellie by his parents because, quote, "he was always at his happiest when he could wear a dress," close quote. Well, kids also like to run around naked. They don't like to wear their nappies. Should you just allow them to do that for the rest of their lives? No, you should dress them and you should teach them what is culturally acceptable. And it's not culturally acceptable to be wearing the opposite gender's clothes. It might be in the fantasy world of the SJW, in the fantasy world of the mainstream media, but it's not acceptable in mainstream society. Billy, this five-year-old child, insisted his body was wrong and he wanted it fixed. Dr. Wren said he was deeply unhappy and asked his mother to take him to the doctors to cut his willy off. Now, there is no way on earth that idea would enter the mind of a child unless it was put there by somebody. No child wishes to cut bits of their body off. I mean, when a child hurts itself, it screams. It understands what it means to hurt itself. And there is no way that a child would be asking his mother to take him to the doctors to cut his willy off. That has obviously been put into his head by somebody. And that's what they should be investigating. Who the hell is it that is encouraging this in this child? Not celebrating it and taking him to the doctor and saying, oh yes, well, can you actually do that? I mean, this child should be taken away from this crazy mother that's doing this. The clinic proposed a watchful waiting process, during which the parents were encouraged to help Ellie tolerate the reality of the body, which is good advice. You just watch and wait and try to affirm his male identity. Tell him how great it is being able to stand up and wee instead of having to sit down. You know, that sort of thing. Take him outside to wee in the bushes. So, that is the sort of thing that should be done to try and tell them to get the boy to enjoy being in his body and realise the benefits of being in his male body. But the parents acted, quote, more affirmatively. And the child is now formally known as Ellie at school and in other settings and is now unequivocally related to as a girl. The parents are now waiting for Ellie to turn 12 when they expect the clinic to provide hormone blockers, believing that anything less would be unthinkable and cruel. And where have they got that idea from? That it would be unthinkable and cruel for him to actually be encouraged to be happy in the body that he's got. Of course, they've got that from these transgender lobby groups. I bet the two parents of this child are probably lesbians or some other kind of unconventional family, because I can't see a genuine father thinking that that is a good idea to chop the penis off his son. And if he does, then he should be locked up. Children can be given puberty blockers on the NHS from the age of 12 and sex change hormones from the age of 16. Many socially transition at a younger age, but Dr. Wren warned that doing so prior to puberty can lead to problems when the child is hit by a wall of reality as their body starts to change. And of course, that's what I was talking about earlier. If these parents have been going along with this fantasy and telling the child that actually you're really a girl, and then they get to puberty, and they start, their balls start dropping, their voice starts getting deeper, and the penis starts growing, and it's going to be a horrifying for them because they thought they were going to turn into a girl, and you're really messing these kids up here. She said, "We think that it is setting up problems for later. There is no magic solution. Some families think the social transition means it's all going to be fine, but it is so much more complicated than that. We are anxious that there is some magical thinking that they won't actually really go through puberty. I'm not condemning these parents, but I think there is much more to learn." I mean, what is there to learn? If you're a boy or a girl, you go through puberty and you have the adult characteristics of your gender. And that's the way things are naturally supposed to be. And if people don't want to be like that, then what needs to be done is to get them to want to be like that. Not to delude them into thinking that they can possibly change sex. People can't change sex. You're either XX chromosomes or you are XY chromosomes. And this nonsense that, oh, if we don't affirm their identity, they're going to go and commit suicide. It's once they've actually had the sex change operation that they commit suicide, because they realize that they've been sold a lie. Everything that they thought was going to happen, they thought that they would be just like a woman and everybody would think they were a woman. Doesn't happen. All they realize what they've done is they've inflicted a horrific wound upon their body. They think that if they have a sex change, if they have their penis chopped off, that they'll be able to find some heterosexual man. What heterosexual man wants to put his penis into a gaping open wound in another man's body? And that's the fact of it. That's the fact of it. And they realize that once they've actually had the sex change, they realize that, and they realize that what they've done is ruin their lives with the help of the NHS, the doctors, the mainstream media, and the government now that are all pushing this. Dr. Polly Carmichael, director of the Gender Identity Development Service, added, "There are some families where they will talk about it being a hate crime if you get the pronoun wrong with a very young child who has made a social transition." So, of course, these parents are thinking that's wonderful because they can then start correcting people and being very pedantic about things like this and correcting teachers. And the child should be taken away from these crazy parents. Youngsters sent to the London Clinic or its outreach centres in Leeds and Bristol are given counselling, and around 45% of initial referrals lead to physical treatment, such as hormone injections. So half of them are given hormone injections straight away. The clinic, which has a 2-year waiting list, has come under fire for rushing children into potentially irreversible medical treatment. In April, 5 specialist clinicians resigned over concerns some children had been wrongly diagnosed and sent for life-changing medical intervention without a thorough assessment of the other options. And why is that? How is it that that could happen, that there could be a wrong diagnosis and children sent for life-changing medical intervention without a thorough assessment? Well, that happened because political correctness has worked its way into the medical industry and the and science and everything. Things that should be based on facts and reality are now being distorted by these politically correct ideas that gender is a social construct. That's how this has happened, and that's what we need to put a stop to. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at radioaryan.com.